11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Still undoubtedly, the world's best intro to a sports betting podcast. It's Dave Kellner here alongside Pete Farriers to look ahead to this weekend's Championship League football. First of all, good afternoon, Mr. Pete Farriers. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Dave. Good afternoon to the listeners. I like that personal, that little flourish you put there. The best intro to a sports betting podcast. I mean, it can't get much more niche than that, can it? The best beef in one particular street of Paris is maybe how we're looking at this. But yeah, tricky week this week. Should be interesting, though, I think.
I think it's a good-looking week. By the way, Lee Phelps will be back next week. He's had to dash off to record a preview with Robbie Savage. So he's got his priorities straight anyway, Mr. Farriers.
It's almost like Robbie Savage is held in higher regard in terms of his podcastery than I am, and that sickens me to my very core.
We start off with a cracker this week, an absolute belter. Leicester versus Derby on Friday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Leicester on a fine run after four straight wins in the Championship. They're in pole position in the league, Pete, 4 points clear of Burnley. This is going to be a real test, though, against a Derby team that were the informed team in the league prior to their loss against Wigan.
Absolutely. A scary, scary side. In Martin, they've got a frightening goal scorer, Derby, and Steve McLaren, they've made a phenomenal appointment, and it is looking at the moment like it is phenomenal. At the time, and I've said this almost every week since we've talked about Derby's run, but at the time, sacking Nigel Clough, Dave, seemed so harsh. It seemed unbelievably harsh, but at the moment, the owners are being very much vindicated with that. The run of form that Derby have found themselves on to go from where they were, you know, in the league to fourth now, to only, what, 3 points with exactly the same goal difference as Burnley away in second. It's away from second, I should say. It's amazing. It really is. Now, Leicester lost the other day in the FA Cup, 2-1 to Stoke, but do you really think Nigel Pearson cared about that particularly? They put up a good fight. They only lost 2-1, of course, to a mid-table Premier League side. They had a great run in the League Cup. They are where they are, of course, top of the Championship. That is fine for Nigel Pearson. He would, of course, have liked to have kind of got through, but going out is really not anything he will blink an eyelid at, Nigel Pearson. Their home form as well, Dave, when you look at the way they've been scoring goals, just the one home league loss all season, that was to Forest in that 2-0 loss, of course. Other than that, they've been absolutely unbelievable at home. Hit 5 in the last home game, of course, against Bolton. That does have to come with a bit of a caveat, of course, that they conceded 3 in the same spell as well. But Derby, this is what I want to do, Dave. I want to apply the socks up syndrome theory to this. Now, for listeners who are new, the socks up syndrome might sound like a strange thing. Socks up syndrome, of course, being the thing that when a team is on a phenomenal winning run and that comes to an end, or a phenomenal non-losing run and that comes to an end, it takes them a little bit longer to sort of drag themselves back into the winning habits. And they lost, of course, to Wigan, didn't they, in the league? Then lost to Chelsea, which again isn't really anything you can criticise them for, 2-0. Leicester have to be the play in this game for me, Dave. They're the best team in the league, playing a side who've just hit a couple of losses. You know, Steve McLaren knows how to deal with this kind of thing, Dave, but they have hit a couple of losses, so Leicester on the outright. It has got to be a play for me, 11-10. And that headline offer, Nugent and Leicester at 3-1, looks very good as well. You know how many times recently Dave Nugent has scored from the spot, let alone just scored. He's a very good goal-scoring option.
Leicester to win that one in the betting at 11-10. That's the live game on Friday night. Look at that headline offer as well. David Nugent to score and Leicester to win at 3-1. On to the 3 p.m. Kickoffs on Saturday. And we'll start off with Huddersfield versus Millwall. Huddersfield 10-11. The draw is 5-2. And Millwall in the betting at 3-1. There've been a lot of goals in recent Huddersfield games, Pete. At least 5 in their last 3, including the recent last-minute comeback against Grimsby in the FA Cup last weekend. And Millwall are really struggling on the road recently, Pete.
Well, it was devastating for me, that FA Cup comeback, because I actually felt that Grimsby had a really good chance of winning that match. I actually talked about them on the podcast last week, and Huddersfield managed to drag themselves through it. The big X factor of this game is that, of course, Ian Holloway has just become Millwall manager, hasn't he? There for 2.5 years, according to his contract anyway. It's a weird one with Ian Holloway, because he goes to some places and does a great job. He went into Palace, of course, when you know they were doing very well. Dougie Friedman felt that Palace couldn't keep that kind of momentum up. They did, and of course Ian Holloway got them promoted. He's gone into other clubs, like QPR, and not been able to keep them up. It's a strange mix of quality and not quite being able to match the expectations Ian Holloway. His whole career is, in terms of a manager, been very odd in that respect. You know, did a good job at Bristol Rovers and didn't work out for him at Leicester. So it's really weird kind of ups and downs. It's not like a manager you can say across the board has done badly. It's not that you can say everywhere he's ever gone has been a success. It's a real peaks and troughs managerial career for Ian Holloway. A man who, I've got to say, I don't mind admitting, I do actually really like. But I still think that Huddersfield are the play here. I mean, 10 to 11 might look to some listeners to be a bit short. You know, looking at how Millwall have got on, you'd say, well, you know, they've not been particularly good. We know they haven't, of course, since Boxing Day and that sacking of Steve Lomas. You know, there's been little flashes here and there for Millwall, but do you want to put your money down on them at 3 to 1? It's what you think that Ian Holloway can do. That's the question. This quickly, it's what you think in, what, 3 or 4 days Ian Holloway can get down. Now, Ian Holloway is not a man who will go in, make everything tight, and then push on, is he? We know from Ian Holloway's style across his career, he's a man who likes to play attractive, attacking football, you know, plenty of movement of the ball, plenty of counter-attacking football as well. And I just think that despite the fact they've got players who can play that kind of football, it's not quite there. The personnel is not quite there. And if, say, you know, Tony Pulis goes into a club, or even despite the pressure running right now, Sam Allardyce goes in, you know that within a matter of days they will have them organised, they will have them disciplined, and that means that in some ways they could scrape a win if they're a team in bad form. I don't think that's the case with Ian Holloway, a man who's a very good manager, but I think straight away there's a bit too much work for him to do. I mean, yes, they didn't concede against Doncaster Rovers, but you look before that, they conceded 13 goals in 3 games away from home, Millwall. Ian Holloway is not a man who will go in and put an end to that, is he? He's a man who could throw more goals into the Millwall side, but in terms of defending them, at the moment there is too much work for Ian Holloway to have done in just a couple of days, especially in the way that he tends to manage Lee. Dave, I do apologise, that's about as offensive as it gets. Match result on both teams to score here, Huddersfield 3-1, I think is brilliant. Because I think that defensively he won't be able to get that aspect of their issue sorted this quickly. But I do think that going forward, he will give them a lot more impetus, he'll give them a lot more confidence, and I think they do score. I just think Huddersfield outscore them. And yeah, like you say, a lot of goals in Huddersfield games recently. They've conceded at home every single one of the last 5 games. There's only one home game all season, that being against Doncaster Rovers. They've actually kept a clean sheet anyway. So you've got to think that Millwall, in some way, shape or form, register a goal here. But knowing that Huddersfield, you know, they hit 5 against Yeovil and Millwall, they really aren't much better than Yeovil at the moment. They drew with Derby at home. Yes, they lost to Birmingham. Leicester lost to Reading. They beat Burnley recently there too at the John Smith. So they're a good side at home. Mm. They've got a big confidence boost, of course, from that FA Cup game the other day as well. So quite frankly, the Huddersfield and both teams to score. 3-1 looks brilliant. If you want to ignore that, you want to take all eventualities, then I think the 10-11 on the outrights for Huddersfield is also just very, very good indeed.
Good stuff. Speaking of Yeovil, that's the next game we're going to preview. Yeovil versus Burnley, which again's kick-off on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. And Pete, 21 places separate these two teams in the league. Burnley just 4 points off top spot, while Yeovil in a real relegation battle towards the bottom of the league. Some people might look at the 21-20 on Burnley and think about snapping that up, but their recent away form has been a little bit patchy as well. What do you make of this game, Pete?
It is a game in which you can't back Burnley. It's kind of the immediate thing for me. I mean, away from home, they've really struggled, haven't they? No win in 6 away from home. Albeit they haven't lost a lot. Only losses at Middlesbrough, a narrow loss as well, and a narrow loss at Huddersfield. So would you want to back them to lose this game? No, not when you consider Yeovil's home form, which, to be fair, isn't horrendous. I mean, beating Forest, beating Blackpool, drawing with Charlton in the last 3 at home, that's really not bad. Narrow losses to Wigan and a side in Blackburn who had just started to show flashes of a little bit of danger, you know. So it's amazing when you think that at the moment Yeovil are this price. You understand why they're that price, but it's amazing to think. So how do you play this game? Because you know that Burnley, quite frankly, aren't backable at 21-20 for me, knowing that away form. But yet, do you still want that money with Yeovil? Not massively. I mean, in terms of an outright related market, of course, isn't an outright, but in terms of an outright related, I think the Yeovil plus a goal at 7-10 is interesting. But the main bet, I've got to say, that caught my eye here was the both teams to score market. Now, this might be one that Lee's put into his both teams to score at the end of the podcast. We'll find out, of course. But I think that it was actually even money this yesterday. It's actually already been nibbled in down to 10-11. Both teams to score, yes. And that, for me, has got, quite frankly, to be the play. Yes, didn't land in either of the last two Burnley away games against Middlesbrough or against Wigan. Before that, it was landing, you know, four of the last six away from home. So that's not a horrible stat at all for a 10-11. And yes, Yeovil started the season barely scoring at home at Huish Park. They've lost, in fact, you can argue, Rawls, and they've lost Ishmael Miller as well, haven't they? Ishmael Miller is a huge loss to them. But they hit the other day Leighton Orient, who, while they were going through a sticky period of form, are a good side. They did still smash four past Leighton Orient the other day. You do get a feeling that maybe James Hayter's starting to get his eye in, starting to score goals. He got a brace the other day. That they're probably good for a goal here. So the main bet in this one for me, despite the fact that it's only two of the last five at home for Yeovil, where both teams to score has landed, 10-11 was a good enough price for me to play that.
Nice, that's Yeovil versus Burnley. Next up, Blackpool versus Middlesbrough. Blackpool 8-5, the draw 11-5, and Middlesbrough in the betting at 6-4. These two teams, Pete, look to be trending in opposite directions at the moment. Good start for Blackpool, but now they're in free fall. While Middlesbrough, after a difficult start, have started to string a few poor performances together in the league. Despite their loss at home to Hull in the FA Cup last weekend, they're unbeaten in four in the Championship. From a price perspective, Pete, not much to separate the two sides.
No, and there probably should be. All is not well at Blackpool right now. All is just not well, is it? I mean, you've got Tom Ince probably on the verge of leaving the club and going off to Swansea. They're one of the several clubs, but at the moment he's discussing the terms with Swansea. You've got Michael Schopper, who tweeted, and I'll paraphrase his tweet a little bit because I've got to take some swear words out. But he said, flipping joke this, coming for training, only six flipping players here, and then find out the fitness coach has taken the football session. Hashtag joke. Now, Michael Schopper, we know, is sometimes an awkward character to deal with, but that still shows, if that is accurate, a strange training regime. That shows to me a club, if a player is willing to come out and do that, that shows a club that's completely lacking in harmony. We've seen huge amounts of ill discipline from Blackpool recently. We've got them in what is, you know, summarily not very good form, Blackpool, have we? We saw them early season fly like eagles, Dave, like majestic soaring eagles towards the top end of the table. And people were saying, including myself, well, I thought Blackpool would do very badly this season. This is an amazing run. They're now doing badly. They can't get a run of form together. And yet Middlesbrough, you're absolutely right, are beginning to just look like a team you can back, aren't they? A team who were frighteningly inconsistent for, I'll rephrase that. They were excellent beginning part of last season and the worst team in England in the second half of last season. And they've won three of the last five games so far this. They're starting to find a bit of consistency. They look so good sometimes on the counter-attack. They've got a player in Albert Adoma who's scoring goals. They've got a defender in Omuroa. There you go. That's probably about as good as I can do.
That's it. I think you've got it.
Yeah. Omuroa. Oh, forget it. Omuroa. There you go. Yes. I probably shouldn't have had that whiskey before I started recording. But they've got a young lad in here there who's just gone in from Chelsea who's going to want to try and make a mark, a very good centre-back. Blackpool have lost. They have lost seven of the last eight games. And yeah, Borough's away record this season hasn't been at times brilliant, but they have been to Bolton and drawn. They've won at Millwall and they were very good in that game. Drawn at Birmingham, who were an improving side. Lost narrowly at Derby, lost narrowly at Leeds. Do you really want to play Blackpool in this game, thinking that they could be level of disharmony, thinking they're going to lose their best player by a mile, thinking that their manager is under serious pressure, that their form is poor? No. For me, Middlesbrough have to be the play in this game.
Yeah, fair enough. Middlesbrough away from home, 6-4 to beat Blackpool in that match at 3 p.m. Blackburn versus Doncaster next. Blackburn 1-2, the draw 3-1. Doncaster in the betting at 6-1. Doncaster are without a win in 8 in all competitions, and have only picked up 2 points in the Championship in their last 7. But Blackburn failed to beat Sheffield Wednesday and Birmingham in their 2 most recent home matches in the Championship. It's hardly inspiring form if you're looking to back a team at 2s on, Pete.
And certainly in the Championship.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? Certainly in the Championship. That's a worrying run of form. But, well, not worrying run of form, worrying indicators is probably a better phrase to use. But Blackburn have lost only 3 times since the end of October. They've lost to Brighton, to Ipswich, and narrowly to Birmingham. Now, 2 of those 3 were away from home. But generally speaking, Dave, as short as 1-2 is, they have to be backed. Doncaster Rovers might well be losing some of their better players. If somehow, I don't know how, because he was getting looked at by a lot of, you know, no offence to Doncaster Rovers, but bigger clubs and clubs with bigger budgets. Richie Vellens, have somehow kept hold of Richie Vellens. I don't know how they've done it, but they've somehow managed to do that. They've released James Harper this week as well, or just basically come to a mutual agreement to terminate that contract. Away from home, they concede rafts of goals. We know that in Blackburn Rovers, they have arguably the best striker in this league in terms of just utter quality. They have the best striker in this league in Jordan Rhodes. And you say, well, you know, they haven't been scoring loads recently, but Rhodes scored against Yeovil, got a brace against Birmingham. You know, we saw him score against Leeds United. And, of course, in that 1-1 draw with Man City, he looked very good at times. So you look at all this. You say that Tom Kearney's gone in there, a fantastic talent, who I've gone on about this podcast for years. Tom Kearney, whenever I've seen him, he's been phenomenal, and he is beginning to run that Blackburn midfield. I'm actually happy to take Blackburn to win this match, even at 1-2, Dave. Even at 1-2.
Yeah,
I am.
I hope this doesn't come back and bite you, Pete.
Well, possibly, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of critics who will be picking me up on it if that happens, and you know what, fair enough. But listen, the point remains here that when Doncaster Rovers have got the form that they have got, have lacked the goals that they have lacked. Yes, they've scored in 3 of the last 5 away, fair enough. But generally going forward, they don't inspire, they don't scare. You know, they failed to score in 3 of the last 5 matches they've scored. Generally, they've been shipping goals for fun. They can't get a squad out. Paul Dickov's under some pressure from a lot of fans who are very unhappy. Blackburn, I know it 1-2 is short, but they have to be played. I could be tempted here by Jordan Rhodes 2 or more. At 3-1. This was a bet that certainly I identified as being a very, very interesting one indeed. I can't see how that Doncaster Rovers back line, of course, still without Rob Jones, their most important defender, will deal with Jordan Rhodes' movement. I just don't see it. I do not see it. Strikers have a good record recently against Doncaster Rovers as well. I think I've got to say, 2 or more for Jordan Rhodes at 3-1 looks good. But for me, not only will Blackburn win this game, they will win it very comfortably. So the main bet in this, as good as the 1-2 is, the -1 at 5-4 is better.
Good stuff. The last of the Championship games that you've cast your eye over is Ipswich versus QPR. Ipswich 8-5. The draw is 11-5, and QPR in the betting at 6-4. Both teams have scored in Ipswich's last 6 in the Championship, but Pete, it looks reasonable to expect this to be tight. Two teams chasing promotion, either automatically or probably more realistically in Ipswich's case via the playoffs. This is a game that has significant implications at the top of the Championship.
It doesn't. It doesn't really, does it? Because you look at how Ipswich are getting on, and they're making a real charge, and QPR are going to have to pull the reins a bit. It probably isn't helping that there's a lot of discussion over Harry Redknapp's future at the moment. Probably a lot of it is nonsense. But the point is that there's still a lot of people saying, well, you know, will Harry Redknapp go back to West Ham if Sam Allardyce is released? Ipswich were in great form, but have just stuttered a bit recently, haven't they? A fair few draws, albeit one of those in the FA Cup. They have still drawn 4 of their last 5 league games. Against Forest, fair enough. Against Watford, okay. Beat Doncaster Rovers. Draw against Charlton at home, not good enough, really. And despite having McGoldrick and Sylvain Ebanks-Blake, 2 fantastic players, despite having Taylor, who I think is brilliant as well, they've not been scary going forward, have they? But then QPR, away from home, are not a good side particularly, are they? You're looking for QPR at just 4 away wins all season, by a goal at Bolton, by a goal at Leeds, by a goal at Yeovil, and of course a 2-0 win over Blackpool. And this is the problem. Harry Redknapp has set QPR up this season to be a team who go and grind stuff out. That midfield is a grinding midfield. You know, you've got the likes of Carl Henry, of Gary O'Neill, of Joey Barton. That is a midfield that is there to help basically just do the cog work and then try and nick goals and wins. And they have done that. You can't argue that it's been an unsuccessful approach so far, because they're third. But the point is, from a betting proposition, they have been a team who've tried to grind out 1-0 wins all season, and at the start of the season, that worked for them. But if that's your aim, when you start to dry up a little bit, only a little bit, you've turned a lot of 3 points into 1 point, because quite frankly, if you're not scoring freely, if you're not going at teams freely, if they just set up to defend solidly, you're in a bit of trouble. So it's a fine and narrow, so it's a narrower margin, really. And I think this game has got draw written absolutely all over it at 11-5, Dave. It was the reason I looked at this game, because 11-5 looked unbelievable. Yes, you could say, well, look, if Ipswich had drawn this many games, you know, 4 of the last 5, it's got to come to an end. But QPR away from home have got a lot of draws this season, you know. They've got, I think it's, what, 4 or 5 draws away from home this season? 2 in the last 5. They've lost to Doncaster. I can't back them. I can't back them to win this game. But knowing that Ipswich are struggling to see out matches, it's very hard to back them too. I think the 11-5 draw here is very, very, very good indeed.
Like it. 11-5 on the draw, Ipswich versus QPR. Now, time for the best bets, Pete. We'll start off with your best bet in League One.
Best bet in League One has to be MK Dons at 8-11, Dave. I've gone for a couple, I've gone for one short one in League One this weekend. Shrewsbury, of course, played Leyton Orient in the week and were dispatched very simply by Leyton Orient. MK Dons have found themselves, you know, while drawing and losing the last two games, still in some pretty solid form. They're not too far off the playoff places, of course, just 6 points off a Rotherham side who themselves have hit the buffers a little bit in recent weeks, just one win from 4 for Rotherham. Shrewsbury, well, they're a side who I don't really want to get involved in particularly. 3 losses from 5, played only a couple of days ago, lost comprehensively a couple of days ago, 2-0 to a Leyton Orient side who are beginning to find their feet again. So 8-11 for MK Dons will just about do me nicely.
Good stuff. And League Two?
League Two is an unbelievable bet, I think, which is Scunthorpe at 13-10 away at Mansfield. We all know that League Two is an incredibly tight league, and it's been even more convoluted in recent days by, of course, plenty of games being called off. Now, meaning not only is it tight, but teams have now got 2 games over on one team, 1 game over on another, and all of a sudden there's a lot more difficult maths. But despite an upturn in form from Mansfield, and there has been an upturn in form in the last three from them, including a fantastic win over Cheltenham, how on earth can I back them to win this game? I mean, they scraped past a poor Exeter side. They drew with a good Burton side, to be fair to them, and they beat Cheltenham. But the way that Scunthorpe are playing at the moment, they've just blown away one of the league's best teams, and they are one of the league's best teams, Rochdale, 3-0. That's an unbelievable result. The game before that, who did they play? Oxford United, another one of the league's better teams. They blew them away 2-0. Now, yes, they drew against a poor side in Bury, and, you know, we know that they drew 1-1 against a dodgy-ish side in Wickham. But the point remains that they are still an unbelievably good side. They're on the verge, by the way, of signing Paddy Madden as well, who almost single-handedly scored the goals that got Yeovil promoted from League One last season. So they are 13-10. That bet to me looks fantastic.
Good stuff. We finish off with Lee has a both teams to score double that he's been kind enough to write down for me, and then we'll get to the nap selections. His both teams to score double doesn't involve the game that you mentioned in the championship. He's gone for one match in the championship. That's Bolton versus Forest in his both teams to score double. 70% of Bolton's home games have featured both teams scoring, and 70% of Nottingham Forest's away games both teams have scored. And the other part of his double is both teams to score in the game between Northampton and York in League Two. And again, similar statistics apply. 70% of Northampton's home games have featured both teams to score, and 70% of York's away games have featured both teams to score. So it's 12-5, the double. Northampton and Bolton, both teams to score in those games. How's he doing with those both teams to score doubles this year,
yeah,
Pete?
Okay. Better than I'm doing on the whole, the nap, so I can't really, you know, people in glass houses and all.
Speaking of naps, what's your best bet this weekend, Pete?
Well, I've been going through a slightly better run of form generally with the naps, albeit I got my backside handed to me with what turned out to be a dreadful bet, and I've got to hold my hands up in the FA Cup the other day. There was two that sort of jumped out to me this weekend. Two that really have been vying for NAP status.
Okay.
One of those was Scunthorpe, who I just spoke about against Mansfield at 13-10. It's an unbelievable price for the way that Scunthorpe are playing right now. But the one I had to go with was, in fact, Middlesbrough at 6-4 away against Blackpool. Yes, Middlesbrough are still maybe not 100% consistent, and that has got to be maybe a worry for people's pounds or euros. But with the way that Blackpool are looking at the moment, they're on the verge of selling their very best player. Number one.
Yep.
Number two, they've got a manager who's under a huge amount of pressure. Number two. The last time, by the way, that Borough played a manager under huge pressure was Millwall. And they won that 2-0 away at Millwall. Three, they're a side who are looking like there is some discontentment in the camp. I mean, Michael Schopper's tweet, we know about it, and is a pretty damning tweet. Also, if accurate, is a pretty damning tweet.
Yep.
And they're a side who've shown dreadful discipline recently, and five, on top of all of that, they've got dreadful form. So, for me, Middlesbrough at 6-4, when they're welcoming new signings like Omoruo, yes, nailed it, when they've got a striker in form in Albert Adoma, when they've got a midfield who are beginning to find their feet, you've got players like Emmanuel Ledesma looking very, very good indeed. When you've got all that together, I think 6-4 is a good enough price to back Middlesbrough to beat Blackpool, and it is my nap of the week.
Lee's nap this week is over 2.5 goals in the Colchester-Gillingham game. Colchester 15th in the league, Gillingham in 14th in League One. 60% of Colchester's home games in League One have gone over 2.5. A whopping 90% of the Gills' away games have seen three or more goals. So over 2.5 goals in the Colchester-Gillingham game is Lee's nap of the week, and that's at 4-5.
Okay, I've
called
them Gills
instead
like that.
Of Gills there. That's weird. But yeah, Colchester. Well, he's a stats man, isn't he, Lee? First and foremost, he likes to apply percentages to his bets, and that one, statistically speaking, looks a good bet at 4-5.
And also, Dave, can I just take this moment, because you've banned me from ever appearing on the golf podcast, just to talk to you publicly about two of my picks for the Sony Open this weekend. Just very quick, well, this week is obviously in action now, or at least it will be by the time people are listening.
Tonight,
sure.
Yeah.
Harris English and Chris Kirk, discuss.
Yeah, I like both of them. I think they're both fantastic players. Both got multiple wins on the PGA Tour now, which is good. And both will be suited by the golf course. It was just the prices that put me off when recording the golf podcast. Harris English was 22s and Chris Kirk 28-1. And those prices looked a little bit too short for me. I prefer Chris Kirk at the prices, who played well at this event last year and looked decent at Kapalua last week. I can see both those guys going well, and if one of them wins, Pete, you still won't have an appearance on the golf podcast, but you'll be safe in the knowledge that you've outshone me this week.
Well, Dave, while in life I do tend to outshine you pretty much every day, I got to say that I can't often recall many opportunities where I've done it in terms of golf. And, either both playing golf with you or actually talking golf with you.
I think neither of us do the shining when we're out on the golf course, Pete.
No, that is true. That is true, albeit, you know, you're slightly more headstrong than I. I tend to throw a mother of all paddies. So, you know, still well done to you on that. But yeah, in all seriousness, that Middlesbrough bet, and to be fair, that Scunthorpe bet, both look phenomenal this weekend.
And it's one of those where you can bet both in a double, can't you, if you wish to do so?
Yeah, if you needed to, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Pete. Lee Feltz will be back next week on the podcast. Remember, you can listen to this podcast in better quality as far as the audio is concerned on Audio Boo. And if you want to access all our podcasts, go to williamhill.com/podcast. Lee's back with Pete next week for more Championship Football League action here on the League Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.